Chapter 2. The Race. 1486 to 1495. The castle of St. George in Lisbon, situated on a rocky promontory with far-reaching views over the Tejo River, contained among its treasures a sumptuous world map. It had been commissioned 30 years earlier by King João's father, Afonso, from a cartographer monk in Venice, with the brief to summarize the best geographical knowledge of the day. Fra Mauro produced an extraordinary work of art. Microscopically detailed and brilliant with gold leaf, wavy seas of vivid blue, and the images of castellated cities. Like an enormous circular shield, 10 feet across and oriented to the south, in the Arab tradition, it showed something that no European map had before. It portrayed Africa as a freestanding continent with a southern cape, which he called Cape Diable. Although Africa is seriously distorted and many details had already been outdated by Portuguese discoveries in João's time, Fra Mauro had attempted to apply an evidence-based approach. Venice, with its deep trading contacts with the Orient, was the clearinghouse for information and travelers' tales about the world beyond Europe. The picture is peppered with hundreds of textual commentaries in red and blue ink, drawn principally from the eyewitness accounts of Marco Polo and a 15th-century traveler called Niccolò di Conti, as well as information of all new discoveries made or projected by the Portuguese. Many have thought and many have written that the sea does not encompass our habitable and temperate zone on the south, Mauro notes on his map. But there is much evidence to support a contrary opinion, and particularly that of the Portuguese, whom the King of Portugal has sent on board his caravels to verify the fact by ocular inspection. Special attention is drawn to the Spice Islands and ports of the Indian Ocean, of particular interest to the Portuguese, and he tackles head-on a key assertion of Ptolemaic geography, that the Indian Ocean was a closed sea. The particular evidence he produces for an all-water route to the Indies includes the ancient geographer Strabo's account of such a voyage, as well as a tale, probably from Conti, of the journey of a Chinese junk that was said to have sailed round Africa. Fra Mauro's map crystallized in visual form the Portuguese ambition to find a sea route to the Indies. It also highlighted how little Europeans knew. Never had the world been more divided. The Europeans of the Middle Ages had less contact with the Orient than had the Roman Empire. Marco Polo had walked and ridden there down silk roads controlled by the Mongols and returned across the Indian Ocean in a Chinese junk. His account remained hugely influential because by the 15th century, almost all direct links with the East had been severed. The Mongol Empire had collapsed, destroying the long-range land routes. In China, its successor, the Ming Dynasty, after the spectacular voyages of the Star Rafts, had been seized by xenophobia and closed its frontiers. With the exception of Conti's reports, almost all European knowledge was nearly 200 years old. Islam hemmed Christian Europe in. The Ottomans had crossed into Europe and barricaded the land routes. The Mamluk dynasty in Cairo controlled the desirable wealth of the East and traded it through Alexandria and Damascus at monopoly prices. Of the exact sources of the spices, silks, and pearls sold to the Venetians and Genoese, there were only muffled rumors. Undeterred by Cao's failure to round Africa, João persisted. The scope of his inquiry became increasingly wide-ranging. Nothing was ruled out. At his command, two monks set out across the Mediterranean to seek information about Prester John in the East. About Columbus's proposed western route, João hedged his bets. He licensed a Flemish adventurer called Fernão de Ulmo, with the concession to sail west for 40 days with two caravans.